The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly Bidlin, still losing weight, yes?
No, not at all.
Oh,
you know,
no.
To say, worst part of vacation? Oh, man, I stepped on that scale yesterday. Whoo!
It all came back quick.
We were 5 pounds up from a week before, Gil.
Oh, five isn't so bad.
Yeah, well, actually. Yeah. I wasn't happy about it. I actually worked out a few times on vacation, but the amount of frozen beverages and stuff by the pool that I was drinking was, and then eating a lot, it made sense.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm sure you'll be back down in a heartbeat. Master of Puppets. The problem with the 100 men versus gorillas thing is 20-30% of the men will run as soon as the gorilla tears apart the first five men. So right there, we're down to 65 men left. Gorilla by a billion after that.
We got to take it easy with you. I could do a 5-hour show on this because I need to know how much planning there is for,
again,
for the people.
Again, I've answered all your questions. You have all the planning.
So they're
in the
all
world.
Just thrown in right away. This is like Squid Games. What's it called? Squid Games, right?
Yeah.
Hunger Games.
Pre-flop,
Games.
You have all you'll schedule the event with the gorilla. He will abide by your schedule. You'll have as much chance to pre-flop plan it as you want.
Do I get to recruit the 99 other people?
Absolutely.
I'm assuming I'm a part of this.
99 humans, whoever 99 others you want to be, you want to get. The gorilla's winning every time, dude. Jamie Leva, it's great to have you back. Time out. I have to make bone weapons out of gym. This is the magic Kelly and Gil provide.
Yeah, you're skipping over that part. I think my bone weapons is a serious part of this equation.
Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. Thank you, Jamie. You too. You don't have timeouts allotted. You can't like make.
Yeah,
weapons.
You said I get all the prep time I want.
Yeah, pre-flop, not during.
Right. So like, you know, who was it? Jeff and a few of his buddies got to go.
Jim, let's get it right.
Jim, yeah. Jim and Jeff and a couple other people got to go so I can make their femurs into swords.
Yeah, but that's already after it started. You can't do that during the middle of it.
No, you said prep time.
Pre-flop, before the event
right,
starts.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with 97.
Because you're going to kill them
that's
prematurely?
Right, yes.
I don't think you're...
I'd rather have 97 in weapons than 100.
I don't think you're allowed to have those weapons. Now you're just making up some nonsense. Now,
I'm just asking questions.
Suspension of belief was one thing. Now you're going in a nonsense area. Drew Densick joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from the LBC, where we haven't had a chance to talk to Drew about the NFL draft. It comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's the Deep Dive podcast with Andy Molitor. It's NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. How you doing, Drew?
I'm good. I've been spending my week equally fruitlessly trying to handicap animals and people. Although it's been for the Kentucky Derby. I'm getting nervous now. I've spent about half of my full 120 hours of prep to this point. I feel like I'm in good shape, but I got a long way to go. And it is always a wild and seemingly difficult a balance. Right. Say yes. This was time well spent. 120 yes. hours studying a horse race that takes 120 seconds.
Yeah.
And yes. I mean, will there be potentially more reward than handicapping gorillas and humans? Yes. but ultimately, it's still as ridiculous.
Okay. Well, so I feel that way too. But now let's be honest. You're going to be on the broadcast, right? Is this going to be on NBC Network or on Peacock? Which is it going to be on?
I'm just digital, man.
You're just digital.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just digital. But we're doing. I'm in total. I'm going to record probably. I'd say like 2 or 3 hours worth of stuff in small chunks go up like kind of throughout the weekend on the NBC news feed, NBC Sports YouTube, and everywhere else you look for information. Last week I'd say like last year the most successful piece of content I did in my 5-year history of working for NBC was the boots on the ground morning of the Derby, boots in the mud.
Yes, I remember
kind of
that
report. Report live from the track, handicappers, friends, strangers alike, all kind of very thankful for getting up early on Saturday morning to get out there and review the conditions and talk about the expected conditions for the race. So that'll be for sure on the card on Saturday morning. We'll be out there looking at the course. But the good news is Not going to be boots in the mud this year. It's going to be dry. Looks like Friday afternoon through Saturday morning. So we are expecting a dry and fast track for the races on Saturday.
Okay. And you were dressed for the part. I remember this well. Mystic Dan. Mystic Dan ends up winning the Derby last year. Can you provide us, pardon me, I'm getting emotional. Can you provide us with some of the results of your handicapping?
Sure. It's a really, really good race this year. There are at least 16 horses that have a non-trivial chance to win. The current favorite is Journalism. Big J Journalism coming out of California is your 3-1 morning line shot. He is about plus 270, plus 280 in the offshore market. That is a huge, huge, huge number for implied winning percentage, considering how good this field is, in my opinion. So I am almost certainly going to be against Journalism. The reason Journalism has this huge price is, it's not a huge price, but the reason he has this huge implied probability is he defeated the Baffert horses thoroughly throughout the California prep campaign. If we flash back in time to like January, their narrative around the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby wasn't even, will this be Bob Baffert's seventh win in his return after his 3-year suspension? That wasn't even the story. It was which Baffert horse is going to win this race, because it's going to be one of them, because he had like five that were all like at the very top of the futures pool that were kind of like the hottest horses. He had the 2-year-old champion in Citizen Bull. And so most of the kind of attention shifted from, wow, which of these Bafferts is going to win, to, wow, look at this horse Journalism who keeps beating the Baffert horses. And while his runs have been spectacular, and he has kind of proven everything you want out of a 3-year-old to this point in his career, his speed figures are amazing. They all come in really small fields. Like the California races were just lightly attended. And, you know, you had 5 and 6 horse fields for a lot of these kind of big time California prize, you know, graded stakes. And so I'm still need to see him be able to, you know, navigate a trip in a 20 horse field at that kind of a price. And I'm not sure I'm seeing it. So it's going to be against Journalism for me at this current price point. And, you know, and then the big question becomes, you know, okay, well, you know, are you going next tier to take down this race, or are you going for a real price? And for me, at least, it has all been about one horse who's coming in at a big, you know, bomb of a price in 30-1 on the morning line in American Promise. American Promise is a Justify colt. He's the only Justify colt in the field, and he's a late foal, which means that rather than kind of being foaled in January and February, he was foaled in early May. In fact, his birthday, I think, is on Thursday. And so he is the youngest of the 3-year-olds in the field, but he is also the biggest. He is a monster physically, and he won the Virginia Derby with one of the most impressive runs that I saw of any horse in the entire prep cycle. And it was like his coming out party, honestly, because he's just finally coming into the physical gifts that he was given, you know, by Justify, his sire, and by Tappet, his dam sire. So he has all the pedigree you want to run a big race. He's trained by Dwayne Lucas.
Yes.
A name that you may know, 4-time winner of the Kentucky Derby, last won in 1999. I think on the 26th anniversary, we're going to get another Dwayne Lucas winner, an American Promise. I think he's breaking out of the five. He's going to be at or near, you know, stalking the early pace. He, I think, takes a step forward from his Virginia Derby win, where he set the track record in the mile and the mile and an eighth in the same race. And I think he has the goods to be a contender at a huge, huge price. So,
wow. What are you seeing? 30,
I have a million
30
other
to
thoughts
1?
On the Derby, but
30 to 1?
I don't think he'll go. I don't think he's going to be more like 18 to 1, I think, because people are going to bet this horse.
I'm seeing exactly 18 offshore right now.
18 to 1. Okay. American Promise out of the five, as Drew just mentioned, at the five position, Dwayne Lucas horse. Can I ask a novice horse racing question? We were throwing around, was it Cornucopian for the last couple months? Cornucopian didn't end up in the Derby at all.
That's the whole wild kind of arc of the spring. Not only did Cornucopian not qualify for the Derby, They sent him to Aqueduct last Sunday to run a claiming race, and he got his butt kicked.
Oh, man.
Like the Baffert horses have just underwhelmed and disappointed at every single turn so far. Barnes at one point was top three choice in the futures pool. He's not in the race. Matticat Road at one point was a top three choice from out of the Baffert barn. He's running the Pat Day Mile on Saturday. So really the only two Baffert horses that got in were Citizen Bull, largely qualified based on his two-year-old champion run at the Juvenile BC last year, and Rodriguez, who only punched his ticket because Baffert sent him to New York to run the Wood Memorial in what was a pretty weak field. And he put up good speed figures. He went wire to wire. He had the perfect trip. Nobody really challenged him. So, you know, it's not hard to find reasons to doubt the Baffert horses. And then when you consider the fact that him being back and being the story and kind of just the history of how much his horses take money, I think there's a pretty good reason to steer clear of them. Although Citizen Bull is going to be a tough to pass, even out of the one. Just based on what he did at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Hey, Drew, you got your hat picked out yet? That's what I really want to know. Do you yeah, new
Dean
hat
Wayne Lucas
every year?
This year, so going cowboy hat this year in honor of the coach who's going to bring us home a big score in the Derby.
Okay.
Last thing on horse racing, because I want to get to the NBA and maybe some tennis on the other side in the NFL draft. Is there a Triple Crown horse in this field? Is American Promise a Triple Crown horse?
I would be pretty surprised, but I think it's absolutely possible considering he's got Tepid Blood, which means the Belmont Stakes is a realistic chance, but Preakness is going to be a tough one.
Okay. The Mile and a Quarter Kentucky Derby, Drew throwing his hat in the ring for American Promise. Coming back, more Dinsick on the other side right here in a numbers game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA and NHL playoffs are heating up. MLB is in full swing, and the Kentucky Derby is almost here. Don't just watch, bet smarter with VSiN Pro. Right now, get full VSiN Pro access through August 1st for just $59, saving you over 33% off the monthly price. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily recap of best bets from all VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus our Kentucky Derby betting guide dropping tomorrow, April 30th, with previews and best bets on the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. Every sport, every edge, one low price. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets of Beating the Book. You know, we do horse racing here with Drew. He's, you know, a very thorough analysis of the Derby. We're talking NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever it is we're talking about. And then everybody wants to just tweet about one thing.
Oh, of course. That's how it works.
Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, suggestion. Put aside an hour one day during summer when content is harder to fill to discuss Kelly's plan versus the gorilla, because those 2 minutes you just did before Drew was completely awesome. Nevada Azer, hey Gil, the gorilla in a route, easy. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Stringfellow Hawk, don't mean to beat a dead gorilla, but how many Chuck Norrises would it take? I'll set the over under at 63.5. Here's the point, guys. It doesn't matter if it's Chuck Norris or any human being, you know, 100 MMA fighters. It doesn't matter. A gorilla can kill a human with one arm swipe and can crush the bones of an alligator in one grip. You guys have no idea what you're up against here.
You're underestimating the
human species.
Yes.
No, I'm not.
You are. Okay.
I'm not.
If I get to recruit the 99, there's going to be a lot of planning involved.
Yes. If you could plan a coordinated military strike on the gorilla, then okay. But that's not part of this.
That's Jim's bones.
No.
Coordinated military. By the way,
would
you like really quick 30 seconds of hilarious open bets in my Caesars account?
Oh, please.
These are the open bets. Yeah. I love doing this. Yes. They're still open. Giannis to win MVP 35-1.
Yeah, maybe still a chance.
Wait, yeah, done or not done yet? DL, you answer, okay? Luka Doncic 17-1 to win MVP.
Yeah, that's not gonna be
there. There are three Tyler Hero to win Most Improved Player awards at 55-1.
Yeah, pretty sure that's not a winner either.
Good number.
Yep.
Cornucopian 66-1 to win the Kentucky Derby.
Derby hasn't happened yet. You never know.
And then the Oklahoma City Thunder plus 120 to win the Western Conference.
That one could win.
That one's got legs.
Drew Dinsick joins us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. All right, Drew, we got a lot to get to, so let's try to we'll try to do brief on this. Once reaction to real briefly, Defensive Player of the Year NBA ends up Evan Mobley. Your thoughts are?
Mm.
That's a good response.
Yeah. I don't know. I never saw it. I'm glad, happy for him. He's a great young player. I would have given him sincere consideration for most improved player and not defensive player of the year, but the voting is a weird, you know, the fact that so much coalesced around him right in the wake of the Wemby injury was enough to get him across the line, I guess.
How did
I love the Cavs. Yeah, separately though, like love what the Cavs are doing.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that momentarily. I want to crescendo to the NBA. Okay. How did your NFL draft go?
Oh, incredible.
You had a great draft.
Incredible draft.
Good for you.
Incredible draft.
What was the big winners for you in the end?
Everything, I bet.
Everything, I bet.
I think I had like one. I think I had like one loss, and it was a super long shot. And then I had found money in stuff like I had Shutter Sanders to the Browns at 6-1 from April 9th. I don't even remember why I bet that, but that was like to win 500. It was, you know, not obviously it's not, you know, not buying a boat with this money, but you know, still like it was like after the Browns took Dylan Gabriel, I was like, I literally like messaged somebody. I was like, oh, I hope Shooter just goes undrafted now so that I can get my $82.92 back, you know?
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Browns anyway. I was like, wow. So, you know, no, the NFL draft betting, basically everything broke in my favor. Basically the same for Luke Vegas Refund as well. Like his stuff was unbelievably hot. Avoided any kind of damage related to the Jags trading up to two, which was nice. It was a really, really good Thursday.
Yeah, you had the general narrative you had right, which is the last 48 hours was all noise in the end. The whole Genty to the Jaguars or Tetero McMillan to the Jaguars, all of that. Any tennis left today for you in Madrid?
I'm just sweating out the Jack Draper future for Madrid period. He comes through 1-0 against Berrettini, who retired after losing the tiebreak.
Walkover.
Like what I'm seeing from Draper so far a lot. I still think that if you can find a decent price on him, I still think he's your winner.
Yeah, Matteo Berrettini did not have to lay down and Draper walk over him. I know that was your next question.
Kelly, need to add that rule. Come on.
Okay, to the NBA. How's that going for you, and what do you like tonight in a quartet of games, three of which are potential closeouts?
Yeah, overall up on the playoffs so far after an ice cold start, so I'm pretty happy right now. I think the major takeaways I've had so far, I'm still not sure why the market is a little bit shy pricing these Cavaliers team. They are a super team. I think my fare for them against the Pacers is going to be about minus 605. I think minus 1.5 games against the actually minus 2.5 games against the Pacers is going to be a bet because I think that series is mostly 4-0, 4-1 outcomes. Celtics, I do think, come through tonight and close out the Magic. And I think they ultimately will face the Knicks and likely come through 4-1 as well. My price for that series is kind of similar ballpark as my Cleveland minus 605 against Indiana. So the second round in the East to me looks a little bit snoozy, a little bit chalky. The West right now, I should mention it, as far as plays tonight, I very much like Detroit plus the 5.5 points, but I think that's probably a closeout game. I laid the Clippers minus 1.5. I think they ultimately win in 6. Indiana, I haven't laid the 8, but I probably will. I think Milwaukee is drawing dead. And then tomorrow I laid 4.5 with the Houston Rockets against Golden State. I took the 5.5 points with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I bet over 210. Minnesota, I think, can close out tomorrow, but maybe it takes till game 6. Minnesota, I think, is just neutrally the better team than the Lakers, and they're still not being priced like that. Golden State, to me, might be in a spot of difficulty despite being up 3-1. I like some things about what the Rockets can do in terms of shuffling their lineup, and Ime Udoka basically has admitted he needs to do that, which is good, which is why I think the Rockets game five is a good bet, and why they could force a game 7. It wouldn't shock me. And now of any of the series to get to game 7, I think that's the most likely, just because I'm not buying this Nuggets potentially being revived really at all. I think Golden State Houston game 7 would be a fun opportunity to see what kind of price we get on a total. Like would they go as low as 180? You know, like it's possible. It has first to 90 kind of vibe to it. But the Warriors to me look like they're running out of gas, and it's a little bit concerning. And I kind of like the adjustments that Ime has left in his back pocket for lineups for the Rockets. So we'll continue to monitor that situation. But if the Warriors do come through, I think they are in deep, deep trouble against a Minnesota Timberwolves team. Everybody, I think, is miles behind the Oklahoma City Thunder right now in the West.
What is, I asked this earlier, by the way, you did a great job of answering questions that I asked earlier on the show. So that was awesome. That was very thorough. If it is a Warriors Timberwolves, and I know you're saying the Warriors have a lot of work to do here, but if it is a Warriors Timberwolves, after all, both teams are up 3-1, a 6-7 matchup, if you will, with the T-Wolves, the six getting home court, what would you price that series at?
Okay, let me pull that number up right now. This is probably the one matchup that I just kind of like gut says that the Warriors are in trouble. My fair price says Minnesota -113 in that one. But I think realistically, you're probably going to get around a pick 'em plus 120 on Minnesota there, just based on how there has been sort of a premium around Steph Curry and company. I think they're in trouble in that series.
If the Warriors were -175-ish or whatever they were against the Rockets, they will go all the way down to that against the T-Wolves? Interesting.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, the market has a lot more respect for Anthony Edwards and company than they have for the Rockets, period. I think the Rockets were pretty much the seventh best power-rated team, only ahead of the Grizzlies of all the Western Conference playoff teams.
The Rockets-Warriors series is infinitely fascinating, and I'm with you. It's not over, and I'm a Warriors guy, even up 3-1. The Rockets seem to control the boards at will. Last night, they shot terribly from the line. They missed 12 free throw attempts. That would have altered the outcome of the game, obviously. They seem to have just, Şengün can do whatever he wants, generally speaking, in all these games. And yet, they're the Warriors. So, you know, I know it's an NBA hard-o position to be all about the Clippers and all about the Pistons. The Pistons one isn't working out so well, even though that should probably be 2-2. It's fascinating. Been a great NBA playoffs, man. Been awesome.
It has been a lot of drama. And again, like the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals stand out as probably two of the potentially best series that we will get in the last 10 years.
Ooh, I love it. Congratulations on your NFL draft success. Drew Dinsing, everybody, at @whale_capper. Thank you, sir.
Best of luck, guys.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The disrespect for the Dubs. How many years do we have to do this? Edge Boost, first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is in a numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. One more tweet about the gorilla and the 100 men. Jesse Welch. So now Kelly is going to start off his prep time offing Jim. First of all, Jesse, thank you for using his proper name. But you couldn't use weapons there either, so you're taking care of Jim and removing bones with your own bare hands? Sick.
I'm just saying, if this is, you know, everything on the line, you've got to make drastic decisions here. Sorry, Jim.
I lied. There's another. Martle J. Hold, please, Mr. Gorilla. I've got to make weapons out of Jim. Laughing emoji. Not on today's bingo card. Laughed so hard in my office that I might have snorted out loud.
Who hasn't had these types of conversations? I was in shock yesterday when I saw how popular this was on Twitter. I have had... We haven't even brought in the discussion about what happens if, like, eagles or hawks get involved versus other animals. Aerial attack. Got to watch out for
it. It's 100 men versus a gorilla. You don't get to bring in other animals.
I'm just saying, like, what guys haven't had the conversations about this set of animals versus this set of animals or this set versus these dudes?
This is a smashing by the gorilla.
Underestimating human beings. We got brains. We got opposable thumbs.
We do have brains, and if we had the ability... See, this is the problem everybody's making here. We seem to think that 100 men with bare hands can do something so organized, right? Like 100 fists land on the gorilla at the same time. That's not happening. We have brains, but we don't have the mechanics for that kind of thing. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Jason Weingarten has spent an inordinate amount of time thinking about this. He literally texted me yesterday, goes, should I list all 99 names in addition to me? I'm like, sure, Jason, go ahead.
That was the best part about it, was I did see people tweeting out lists of who they'd recruit for their team. That was well done.
He's coming on the show. He's going to give us all the names, as if that's going to matter.
I think if you get prep time, I'm going with humans. If you just throw a random 100 human beings into a pen.
What's the max bet on that? How much are you taking? How much is the Book of Kelly Bidlin taking on that?
Whatever you want, man.
Max bet on the gorilla.
Yeah, no. Yeah. But like, I'm on your side. If everybody's just thrown into a pen with a gorilla, now, like, they're toast.
Now I'm literally rooting for the gorilla against humans. That's awful.
Yeah.
But I am.
And like, also just let us have fun. I know there's been like a lot of tweets out there, like, why do we have to talk about humans fighting gorillas? Like, it's just a theory, man.
It's what's more fascinating than anything about this is how does one tweet about something that both you and I find not that outlying to what guys talk about in general. Mm-hmm. How did that become so wildly viral?
Well, there was the, you know what it reminded me of, was a year ago or a couple years ago. Remember there was like the naval warfare story about how like men just knew off the top of their head way more about like the history of naval warfare that, you know, compared to women, and women were like in shock by it. And it was just like, just one of these things. Like, I don't know, dudes just remember this stuff and then talk about these things.
Why would they be in shock by that? All right. Well, by the way, I'm glad to hear Drew and Luke Swain, both of my Megapod guests, did as well as they did on the NFL draft. I'm actually a little surprised by it. I didn't know that they did so well.
I hadn't checked on Luke's stuff. No surprise. Yeah. Kills it every year. Gil, I mean, we haven't talked. It was a small winner for me, but man, would have been massive if I got over quarterbacks. That was the one that killed me.
Complete nothing burger for me. Complete nothing burger.
Yeah. I was barely a little above break even. The big bets, though, was McMillan.
McMillan, this is the point I was making the day after, which is McMillan to go 8 to Carolina. If you were watching the live odds, which I was that day, it was crashing. And so I had that whole thing where I'm like, do I bet this? I mean, is this real? Yeah. Who knows if I'm being duped by it? And finally, at the end, at plus 140, I did and made tons on it to sort of take it from a small loser to the smallest of winners.
Yeah,
it's a big nothing burger.
It was the when we talk about this every year with the draft, it's like we're not making these bets with our hearts. Like, it is about finding out information from teams. The bet I made with my heart, though, was by far the biggest winner. It was McMillan under on the draft positions. And then I took a swing on him top 10 at 5-1 like weeks ago when nobody was talking about him. I was like, fine, he's the best wide receiver in the draft. He's built like Mike Evans, which they keep comparing him to. I'll take a swing that somebody going out on a limb and reaching for that guy in the top 10 of the draft. And that's what happened.
Ryan Hyatt, shadow producer of Primetime Action. The ANG 100 men versus gorilla debate with Gil and Kelly has failed to take into account the ability of the men to soothe the savage beast with yacht rock, thus making the gorilla lethargic and easier to take down. That's the best point I've heard to date on this. Just put a little Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald all on. What's that gorilla going to do at that point?
Yeah,
he's just going to sway with it. Shedeur Sanders, Cleveland Browns quarterback to take first snap in week one. The great Wyatt Tomchek, by the way, who filled in admirably for you.
Wyatt always does. Thanks, Wyatt.
Yeah. Someone called him Wyland, by the way, on Twitter. So that got us stuck. Cleveland Browns quarterback to take first snap in week one. Wyatt and I kind of looked at this briefly yesterday. Kenny Pickett is the short shot at plus 110. Now Joe Flacco. This has changed from yesterday.
Also, this keeps changing. This is fascinating. Pickett is minus 110 now.
Okay, so Joe Flacco is now second, plus 225. Joe Flacco is still the bet here. I said at 3-1 yesterday, he was still the bet. He was definitely the bet at 7-1. Shedeur is now third at 3-1. Dylan Gabriel, 10-1, and Deshaun Watson, who's injured. And again, let me just say this. Please, if you're betting Deshaun Watson, please just send the money to me.
Shout out to graphics designer Ryan Pineda, who I did not submit this with, in parentheses, injured. Need to add. Good job, Ryan.
Well, I mentioned yesterday he ruptured his Achilles. Now, again, if this was Dr. Chow, he would be betting Deshaun Watson big time because he thinks he can come back miraculously that quick from an Achilles surgery, but that's different. I think Joe Flacco's I don't know. At this point at plus 225, I don't think there is a bet. When Joe Flacco was longer, I would have made it because Kenny Pickett could very well be the game one starter. But someone here, Wyatt pointed this out yesterday, someone here is going to be cut. You can't go in with four quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So Dylan Gabriel, it's been nice knowing you, I think.
I mean, like, is that what's going to happen?
I have a feeling. have a feeling. I don't know.
If you're the Browns, see, this is where it gets tricky, because we've got these teams where it's like back-to-back years. This was the Falcons making odd quarterback decisions last year. Right now, the Browns, you take the two guys in the draft. I almost feel like you got to lose one of the vets and see what you got, since you already invested these draft picks in these guys.
They traded for Kenny Pickett. By the way, gave up a fifth. Ridiculous. They re-signed Joe Flacco, who had the comeback player of the year flourish at the end of the season two seasons ago with the Browns.
Where could I bet the parlay of like either Pickett or Flacco, one to start and one to be cut?
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Well, this ties into, again, and the real question is, as we said yesterday, what in fact are the Cleveland Browns doing, right? Dylan Gabriel was drafted. Then, as Drew pointed out, you know, he still had Shedeur Sanders going to Cleveland. Somehow they end up drafting Shedeur with the sixth pick. They trade up for the sixth pick in the fifth round. Maybe it came from Jimmy Haslam. Maybe it came from the owner's office. I don't know. Some speculate that it did. It brings us to, you know, are they not tanking for Arch Manning kind of thing then? What's going on here? As far as the number one pick in next year's draft, yes, you can bet on this. Arch Manning is the short shot at 2-1. Drew Aller from Penn State at +225. Are you surprised he's that short? Garrett Nussmeier from LSU +450. And then everybody else, including the returning Cade Klubnik at Syracuse at 18-1.
Yeah, this is, I mean, the big one here with Arch is the NIL money conversation, right? Is that real, or is this like the NBA and college basketball where it's a bunch of nothing?
Cade will be at Clemson, by the way, next year. It's Archer. I mean, unless Arch, God forbid, let's hope nothing happens to him injury-wise, right? Let's say he plays a full season here. It's Arch.
I think so, too. Is the NIL stuff enough to scare you off? I mean, I know you wouldn't probably be betting this right now anyways, nope. But is it enough to scare you off betting this anytime soon? Because I think it's gotten a little out of control with college basketball and the NBA. Like, Cooper Flagg was always going. He's always going to the draft. It's cool that these guys can make millions of dollars in college these days, but it's a lot cooler when you can get a 5-year Supermax deal in the NBA for $250 million. So you want to start that clock as soon as possible. The NFL, it kind of applies. It's not as drastic of a difference, but I think Arch Manning is going to be one of the first examples that we see. Does this possibly happen with
Carson Beck 30-1? Can I interest you?
That was the one who jumped out to me the most, but I think it's just me getting overwhelmed by a name at 30-1.
Yeah. I listen. There's no. Let's put it this way. My advice here for anybody who's thinking about doing this is, I would not bet this. I just don't think. I think Arch, the looming specter of Arch Manning is so big here that at 2-1, obviously it's not a bet to make where your money gets locked away for, you know, the opportunity cost of having your money locked away, however much it is. Who knows how much they let you bet on this anyway. But there's no bet here to make and have your money held for as long as it was. Long ago, was it Matt Brown used to bet like Will Levis 40-1 months and months and months in advance?
But he was doing in like August, September.
That's what I mean. Yeah, not a year before it happens. Right. We'll come back. We'll recap all the bets. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. You know I'm all NFL drafted out when I'm mixing up Cade Klubnik and Kyle McCord, who, by the way, was drafted by the Eagles. There's some random... When Graham Mertz got drafted by the Texans,
oh, yes.
That's when I was like, okay, I'm done. We're done here.
You know what? This is... that all ties into my overall thoughts on the Browns, though. You swing away at quarterbacks as much as you want. I'm okay with it. I won't crush them like everybody else. It's weird. Don't get me wrong. It was weird that you went with Dylan Gabriel and then Shedeur Sanders, but swing away at quarterbacks. You're nothing without one, right, Gil?
Weird. It was more than weird. It was, what are you doing?
The weirdest part was that they had Dylan Gabriel somehow rated higher than Shedeur Sanders, right?
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is not an RG3 Kirk Cousins situation. This is Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
We'll see what Shedeur can do. We get tweets. Hey, guess what these are about? They get tweets of Beanie the Book. Off in the dark. So Gil established no weapons can be used in this, but then okay's Yacht Rock, which is clearly a weapon of psychological warfare.
Good point.
Says it's clearly a weapon of psychological warfare. Yeah, you're allowed to put a stereo system up there.
Whoa.
And rock the Michael McDonald. I keep forgetting to try to mess up the.
No, you can't. But what you could do, yes, because this would be following my rules, what you could do is you could recruit a bunch of men who could sing professionally like that, and then have they could just sing it at the gorilla.
You're the one who wants to commit a murder before the actual thing even happens.
Yeah, you're just saying I'm not allowed outside weapons. I'm using the tools I have available to me.
You're just being ridiculous. Lock Tex at Lockdown Tex. Cashing tickets is what it's all about, Gil says to himself after laying minus 10,000 to watch 100 men die. Joseph McCormack has an idea. He says total Cleveland quarterbacks to take a snap this season would be a cool market. You are absolutely right, Joseph. Yeah. That would be a very cool market.
It's 2.5 juice to the over.
I was about to say 2.5 would be way juice to the over. I would think 3.5 might be the number.
Might be.
Because do you really think Kenny Pickett is or Joe Flacco is going coast to coast on this?
That would require an injury probably at some point for the 3.5 over to hit. Just because you're not going to carry four quarterbacks, right? If you're playing four, it's probably one that's not even listed on that screen that's coming in as the fourth. But yeah. Very likely to happen. We see that all the time.
No, you're right. The line would be 2.5. Yeah. Overjuiced. But I'd bet the over.
I would
sure.
too.
Of course, it's GBank time, official bank of VSIN. GBank recapping every bet from every host, every guest, every sport on every show. I went ahead and just tailed Drew on American Promise. 16-1, baby. American Promise. I might have gotten a bad number, too.
I love you and I on Kentucky Derby week because I was thinking the same thing and price shopping while Drew was talking about it. I was like, you know what? No. I'm going to wait for Mike Somich and Chris Velika.
Yeah.
And then aggregate the knowledge, Gil.
At the shop at which I bet the 16-1, American Promise is now down to 14-1. American Promise coming out of the five position.
Well, you're a respected horse better.
Totally respected horse better. By the way, how many horse racing outrights have you won in your life?
Okay, so there is, I feel like this is also a topic we discuss every year. Yep. I did hit one a few years ago. But then, like I'm one for my last like 392.
My only step out on a limb win was American Pharoah to win the Triple Crown.
We also, you and I, don't get involved with like the exotics at all, right? We're just like pick one or two horses to win.
That's right.
Call it a day. Yeah, I'm the same way. So largely
because we don't really quite get the exotic. Sometimes it's like when we used to do that thing at the South Point. Remember, the South Point does this every year. They have a ballroom upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Where even at my age, I bring the collective average age way down, right? It's like, wow, I'm the youngest person in here. But they, you know, they'd set up their, you know, their ticket writers all up on that ballroom and we met. And I'd be like, wait, how much do I owe for this? Like, I never quite understood it. It's a whole different currency. Mark Borchardt on baseball. He's got a parlay. It wouldn't be a Borchardt segment. A base winner segment, if you will, without a parlay. Phillies Red Sox is his money line parlay today. That will pay you plus 159. And he's on the Yankees. There's a straight bet from Borchardt. I always hold him to a straight bet now because I don't want to be the parlay show for him. Yankees minus 145 today for base winner at the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles struggling. Just having a terrible start to the season. What happened to this franchise? Drew Dinsick, basketball. That was some rapid-fire basketball betting from Drew. He's on the Pistons tonight, plus the 5.5 against the Knicks, though he says he probably thinks it's a closeout for the Knicks. He is taking the Pistons plus the points. He's laying the 1.5 with the Clippers on the road against the Nuggets. That series knotted up at 2 apiece. And like all the NBA hardos, he thinks the Clippers are winning this thing.
I hope they do.
Rockets.
I'll admit it. I'm getting more nervous about my Clipper series tickets.
As you should. But I mean, you said it from the beginning. Does Nikola Jokic still play for the Nuggets?
Right.
You're right.
And they have home court. And now that we're down to three games, it gets a little tighter. I don't have anything NBA tonight. Just quick reaction. I would be Oppo Drew with the Pistons Knicks, but I think we kind of have been that way for this series. Clippers, Denver. Yeah, I'd lean Clippers. But nothing there. Rockets, I do like tomorrow, and I do like the Timberwolves bank.
Drew tomorrow night does have the Rockets. These series are 3-1 out of the West. He's got the Rockets laying the 4.5 against the Dubs in game 5 in Houston. And he believes the Warriors could still be in trouble up 3-1 in that series. And he's taking the Timberwolves plus the points tomorrow night against the Lakers. He believes the Timberwolves could close it out. So those were his more macro thoughts. But those are the teams he is betting. Paul Carr, Champions League. You want some Champions League play?
Champions.
It's the number one champion sound. Today, Ousmane Dembele. Ousmane Dembele, plus 250 to score a goal in the Arsenal-PSG game. No play on the side, but Ousmane Dembele to score a goal, plus 250, because he is a volume shooter, Kelly.
That's right.
Much like Greg Peterson, he is a volume shooter. And then tomorrow he's on Barcelona, minus the goal and the half, plus 160 versus Inter Milan. Paul Carr, everybody. Anybody else? Or was that all?
That was it.
That was it. G-Bank, official bets of every show here, the official bank of VEASAN, with all of our best bets, every host, every guest, every sport, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN, upping the ante with a $750 bonus, or I should say up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VEASAN.com/G-Bank. That's VEASAN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. NHL tonight, Kelly, I know you're not a big hockey guy, but last night, you know, speaking of, we're talking about NBA hardos, NHL hardos really think the Avalanche were going to roll past the Stars. Stars are now up 3-2 in that best of 7 first round series. The Stars won it last night 6-2 to take that 3-2 lead. Wyatt Johnston scored 9 seconds in the game, 9 seconds into the game.
Whoa.
To put the Stars up 1-0 on their way to a 6-2 win. And then Florida beat Tampa Bay. A lot of our NHL hardos love the Lightning in that series. Florida up now 3-1 in that best of 7 series. The entire Eastern Conference 3-1 in the first round series. The entire West was 2-2 before game 5 with the Stars and the Avalanche last night.
Yeah, I mean, usually this is the time of year, much like everybody, right, where I start tuning into a little bit more hockey. It was a little tough to balance NBA and NHL on vacation in the Turks.
Tonight, Leafs try to close out the Senators in the Battle of Ontario. They're up 3-1 in that series. Carolina tries to close up the series with the Devils. They're up 3-1 in that Eastern Conference first round series. And then in the West, where everything's 2-2, the Vegas Golden Knights tonight, right at T-Mobile, right in my backyard.
Man, these are some prices.
Yeah, they're big favorites. Vegas is what, minus 175 in that game tonight?
I'm over that. I'm seeing as high as -240 out there.
Oh, wow. Golden Knights against the Wild tonight, back here at T-Mobile. And then in what has maybe been the most entertaining series, the Kings and the Oilers. This is the only one tonight that does not feature a huge favorite. The Kings, about a minus 135 favorite against the Oilers tonight. Game 5 after that dramatic Oilers win in Game 4, where Bouchard scored with 29 seconds left, and then Dreisaitl won it in OT against the Kings.
Yeah, that is basically a coin flip for the series price there. Seeing anywhere minus 115 to minus 125 for the Kings.
You getting a strange smell in the studio right now? Like a smoky smell? No?
No. But hey.
I'm getting a strange sound.
Sounds like a JVT and Stormy problem to me.
Tennis, they are back playing in Madrid after the Iberian Peninsula grid issue yesterday. So they're back playing in Madrid. Getting to the business end, our play on Berrettini ends up being a walkover. Berrettini quits after the first set, so that doesn't have any consequence here. And as far as golf, we'll have a golf preview tomorrow, and tomorrow we will do MLB most wins month of May, because there'll be multiple shops that will have this. I have done the handicapping, sir. I will be making my bets today.
Let's go. I definitely do smell that now.
I'm telling you. I think the studio's on fire. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to be that guy. But Stormy and JVT are next with Money Moves. Hope they're okay with it. Coming back at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.